once like a bird in prison I dwelt. No freedom from my sorrow I felt, but Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. Glory to God, I'm homeward bound.
Hallelujah.
He set me free, yes. He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. None of this world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too. Glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free.
Oh, hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Lord.
With me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 25 and verse number 29. That's where we are going to begin to read tonight. Genesis 25 and verse number 29. And Jacob sawed pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day," and he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentil, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Tonight I want to talk to our fathers and all of us here about the value of our birthright. The value of our birthright. Let's lay down our Bibles and lift up our hands and ask God to speak into our hearts. Dear God, Lord, we ask you tonight, oh God, that you would speak into our hearts, dear God. Oh, Jesus, each and every one of us, dear God, we need the power of the Holy Ghost to speak to us, dear Jesus. Some way and somehow, dear God. Lord, we want your Spirit, oh God, to come and to reach down and to touch our hearts and our souls and our lives tonight. Dear God, we need the power of the Holy Ghost speaking to us. We need you, dear Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name, dear Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated tonight. We find here the story of twins, two young boys that were born, and it was a birth where one of them came forth and his mother tied the red cord around him, and then it was as his brother then proceeded and was born, completely born before he was. But we have two children that were different as it was. One of them was hairy and earthy and was a hunter. He had that nature. He loved to go out into the field and to seek and to find the wild game and to bring home the meat. Loved the outdoors. And we had his brother who seemed to be the homeboy, almost the one that was around the place and tending the gardens and taking care of the things around the house. He just seemed to be one that was content and happy to be around the home, to be around the place and all the activities that were going on there. But as time went on and they grew up, we see that Esau had something that got a hold of him, that the thing that was his by birth, his birthright, lost its value to him. And the sad thing about the fact that the birthright was no longer valuable to him is the fact that Esau, at this time and this point in his life, because of all the things that were going on around him, he lost focus on what the big picture really was. I want to tell you that the devil sometimes wants us to lose focus on what the big picture is. What is the conclusion of the matter? What is all of the things going to fit together and create when I am done with them? He became someone that became so focused on the moment. He became so focused on himself and what he wanted for right here and right now that he did not remember that one day and one time that he was going to come and to consider that his children would want to receive something from him. He took everything that he had and used it upon himself and didn't value that which was given to him as a result of his birth. And I want to tell you something. As an American, we have something that we were given by birth in this country. We have the opportunity, each and every one of us, to serve the one true living God without fear of imprisonment, because we live for God. It is something we have. It is a birthright that America has, a land where we have the freedom of religion to exercise the right thereof. I know there's problems in our country and our land, but that's not what we're concerned with. We do have great and wonderful opportunities. I was telling the class this morning, there's a lady in prison in Sudan, and she has been sentenced to hang because she made a public confession that she believed in Jesus Christ. So, we have a birthright that we have been given. And sometime in some place, fathers, I want to tell you, you are going to be looking at yourself in the mirror, and you're going to realize, I have to pass something on to the next generation. Life is too short. Life has such small dimensions and borders into it to think that it will be worth living, that it will be fulfilled if I just go out and live life in myself and I have nothing to give to those that follow after me. Oh, I'm so thankful for us that have had good father images in our life. Tonight, if you're not in a place and position where your father has done all that you expected that he should have done, or you know that he has failed you in some ways, let me challenge you to double purpose in your heart, that you will be one that values the heritage and the birthright that is given to you, and that you will make sure that the next generation is able to receive something from you. I want to know and to do that, to hand down to those that have experienced these things. Amen. Hallelujah. Can you just stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just take just a moment here, and we're going to have a prayer tonight. Amen. Ask God to just come into this house. Amen. We've got some visitors coming in. Amen. Come right in. You're welcome. So welcome tonight. Hallelujah. Join us. Amen. Tonight, we're going to take a moment and begin to pray. Dear God, we are so thankful for your love and your mercy tonight. Oh, God, we are so gracious and so thankful for all of your blessings. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us, dear God. Thank you, God, for your love and your mercy. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your peace. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we love you tonight, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated tonight. Amen. So glad to have the Daniels family with us tonight. Thank you so much. Amen. Such an honor and a privilege. Amen. Thank you for honoring Flora and coming with her on Father's Day. Amen. We are just excited that you're here. You are an honored guest tonight. Thank you so much for coming. Amen. Father's Day is a very, very special day. We think about the great and wonderful memories. All of us have those of a good father and the things that he has done in our life. And we want to assure that we continue to create those situations and those times and places where that we have the bond that only family can bring. As we read earlier, and tonight I want to repeat here in Genesis chapter 25, where that Jacob and Esau, two brothers, were together, and Esau came in from the field, and he was faint. And he said unto his brother Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, some of your red pottage." And we see later on in the verse here, he's talking about a pottage of lentil or beans. And I will never, ever forget the time that I was with my good friend, Pastor Holloway, there in Springdale, Arkansas. And he was teaching on a Sunday morning and talking about some different things, and he finally got around to the statement that there was nothing in the world that was better than a pot of beans when you're good and hungry. And he liked good interaction in his classes like I did, so I raised my hand when he got done, and he said, "Brother Akers, you have something to say?" And I said, "Yes, Brother Holloway, I've just got a revelation from God this morning. I have never, ever been hungry a day in my life, because I have never ate a pot of beans that I thought were great and good and wonderful." Well, maybe Esau had one of those revelations, because in my book, he had to be real hungry to be begging for some red beans. He says, "I am faint." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die." Man, he was the original drama king. So he said, "What profit does my birthright do to me?" And Jacob looked at him, and he had one of them "let's make a deal" grins on his face. And he said, "Well, if you'll just swear to me this small little thing here, We just want your birthright, that's all. And we'll give you this great and wonderful, tasty pot of beans. You'll never miss your birthright. It's just a small thing. This great and wonderful pot of beans is what you need. So Esau sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave him this great and wonderful beans and bread. And he did eat and drink. And he rose up, Brother Lee, and went his way. He didn't sit there and contemplate what he had lost. He wasn't concerned about his birthright. He wasn't concerned about that which no one else could have given him except his father. A birthright could only be given to him by his father, because he had to be born into that family, Brother Lee. That was something that came only by birth. Freddie Jones next door did not have anything that he was going to inherit. No. He wasn't in the wheel. He didn't have anything but birth that could come from the great father Isaac. But he didn't value it. It didn't mean nothing to him. He was living for the moment. He was living and not considering the fact that one day he would want to be able to pass something on to his son. But he had sold his birthright. He had sold that which only could be delivered from his father. And he no longer was a possessor thereof. He had one shot at it, and he had lost it. Some of us tonight may be thinking, Preacher, if my daddy was Rockefeller, if my daddy was Bill Gates, if somebody like this was my pa, I'd really be interested in hearing about the inheritance thing. But I'm afraid that when my dad passes away, I'm going to have to pay to bury him, you know. But there is the carnal things that was concerned about in life. But all the way back here to Esau and to Jacob, there was a spiritual inheritance that their father Isaac had to offer them. He was someone that had been able to receive something from his father Abraham. An inheritance and a promise that God had made to Abraham. God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, would you come out of the land of Chaldeans? Would you come out of the world? Would you come out of the land of sin, the land of idolatry, the land where people serve all the false gods, the land where people don't love Jesus Christ, the land where people are doing their own things, the land where people are serving the creature rather than the Creator, or more interested in the pleasures of sin for a moment? They're drinking and cussing and smoking and lying and cheating and committing fornication and adultery on every hand. He said, would you come out of there, Abraham? And if you come out of there, I've got a promise that I'll make you that will be a birthright that you can hand down from generation to generation to generation to generation. It is something that no other person has ever been promised before. It is something that nobody has ever had before. This is something that all eternity will know and hear of, and it will never be forgotten through the ages. This is better than Cortez is seeking for the fountain of youth. God made Abraham a promise. He said, I want to tell you something. If you'll get up and you will begin to march, God is looking for somebody that's willing to do something tonight. As long as we're just sitting there, as long as we're willing to be content where we're at, as long as we're willing to say, well, this is just the way it is and I'll accept it, that's the way it's going to be. But if somebody will come to themselves and make the declaration, if God will promise me, I'm willing to get up and do something about it. God told Abraham, he said, everywhere you put your foot, I'm going to give you that land. I want to tell you something. Abraham was the farthest stepping person you ever saw. He wanted to take all the ground he could because every footful was a new piece of property that he was claiming. There wasn't no baby steps on Abraham. That man was a high stepping. Woo, this is mine. I'm getting all that I can get today. I want to tell you something. God has made some promises and a birthright that he sealed at Calvary. He made something that he wants every father to know that it is something that they're going to be able to pass that birthright down to their children. He didn't go to Calvary and shed his life blood on there just to make a fashion statement. It wasn't something just to impress the Roman Empire. He was creating a covenant. He was creating a birthright for every generation thereafter that if they would come, they had a promise that he was making mankind. And it is the only promise that God has ever made that made the promise of Abraham seem a little pale. When he concluded that promise to Abraham, he told him, Brother Carl, he said, I want you to know that if you'll continue to trust me and live for me, I am going to make your ancestors like the sand of the sea and the stars in the sky. They will not be numbered. That's a pretty big promise. That's a pretty big reason why to want to be able to pass your birthright down to the next generation. That's something that's pretty valuable. But Esau didn't value it. Somewhere, he allowed the trends of time to tell him that he could do it on his own. He could do it without God. He could do it without a birthright. He could do it without the blessings of God. He could do it without the help of God. He could do it without God's working and being active in his life. Oh my. There was Jacob. He wanted that birthright. And he wanted the blessing to go with it. To be the firstborn wasn't just enough for him. He said, I've got to have the blessings of God. I've got to have the blessings of God in my life. Because Jacob wanted to be able to pass those blessings to the next generation. He didn't know at that point in that place, he didn't know where true love would find him. But he knew out there somewhere there was a young lady that he could love. A young lady that would be worth all the toil and all the pain that it would take to win her heart and to win her. And when he found her, he wanted something to be able to promise her, our children are going to have something. Our children are going to have a birthright. I got it. It wasn't mine. And oh, did it cost me. It cost me everything I had at the moment. You see, that birthright and that blessing that Jacob got, it cost him everything he had. He had to get up in the middle of the night and leave the country in order to hang on to his birthright and his blessing. But he found himself there in the foreign country and came and saw the beautiful young lady, Rachel. He said, I've got to have her. Beautiful, beautiful love story. Amen. Hallelujah. I was just thinking how many People would get married in the church if they had to work for their wife for 7 years. Wow.
But he went to her daddy and said, I've got to have Rachel. He said, man, you're a great guy and you're a hard worker and we just love having you around here. It's great to have people, glad to have you around. And he said, I'll make you a bargain. You just work for me for 7 years and she'll be your wife. And the Word of God said he loved Rachel so much that those 7 years just seemed like a day. It was whoo, and there he was. This old boy, he got cheated bad. Cheated, surprised, and you know, life sometimes gives you things that are unexpected, and they look like they're just really bad. They look like they're just a terrible thing. But God is working to prepare us that even though we may be at a terrible point in our life right now, things may not be working the way that we want them to work. Things may be really, really, really in a terrible state. But God is saying, you know what? I can bring some good out of that situation. I can begin to work in your life if you will allow me to. And I can allow your dreams to be fulfilled from the tragedies of the moment. He loved Rachel. But he found out that he had married her sister Leah. And there was his nice, kind, cooperative father-in-law. Brother, let's make a deal. And he says, no problem. You want Rachel? We have to marry the oldest first. But if you want Rachel, you can have her too. Just work another short 7 years and you can have her. So he wound up working 14 years for Rachel. And I was talking to you a while ago about God can bring blessings out of the tragedy sometime in your life. Because this woman that he loved, she didn't have any children. Rachel couldn't have children. She wasn't having any children. And here he was with all this great and wonderful birthright and no children to give it to. But Leah had lots of children. So God brought good out of the tragedy in the situation. Amen. Lots of children as a result of that. God was still faithful. He still called on the name of God. He still sought God. And the dime and the day came and Rachel had a son. Many of you would recognize this son. His name was Joseph. And then a few years rolled around, and at last she had one more son named Benjamin, and that was the end for her. You know, and it seemed like once again, tragedy had came his way. His son Joseph was taken by his stepbrothers and sold into slavery. And they came back and told him that his son was dead. And here he was, his son was lost to him, and this birthright that he valued so very, very much. He realized this blessing that he had paid the price to obtain. He thought within his mind, we know the rest of the story, but the only thing that he knew was that I'm never going to be able to pass this blessing on. Joseph is lost to me, my son that I love, the one that was the firstborn of my beloved Rachel, the one that should have the birthright. I'm not going to be able to pass it to him. It meant something to him. But we see and we know that God was once again working and honoring that promise he made to the great-grandpa Abraham, that I am going to bless your seed. I am going to provide for you and to make a way. God saw on down the road that there was coming a time and a place that there would be great drought and famine within the land, and that all the land would not be able to produce, and there would be no food produced and no livestock that would be able to be this sustained unless somebody had prepared for it. I want to tell you something. We're not at 229 North Main by accident tonight. It is through God's preparation that we are here and we're in this church, because God has a word that he wants to bring and put into our hearts tonight about a promise that he has for each and every one of us if we're willing to accept the birthright that he wants to give us. So Joseph found himself in a land of captivity, isolated from the father that he loved. The story has many turns and twists, but he was one that valued his birthright. He valued his God, and he was not going to do anything to defile himself and to lose out with God. Potiphar's wife threw himself or herself rather at him, and told him, "What does it matter? I am in control of your life." And he said, "No. All that I have, your master has allowed me to be the manager thereof and to control it, except you, his wife. And I will not defile myself or dishonor my boss. And most of all, I will not disobey my God." He had something that was able to keep him regardless of the circumstance. I want to tell you something. The devil wants you to believe that you've got to live your life and you've got to make your decisions based on the circumstance. You look around you and you determine what the best option is for you, and you take that option, and that's going to make life grand and beautiful. I want to tell you something. The devil is a liar tonight. We cannot make our decisions based upon the circumstances. Our decision must be based upon the principles from the Word of God. It may look like it's a good thing. It may look like it's a great thing. But if it violates, thus saith the Lord, it will not be a blessing. In the short run, in the immediate, we may be increased. In the short run, we may have ill-gotten gain. In the short run, we may run to riot with the unrighteous and evil and look like that we have achieved and been successful. But we will lose our birthright. And it is only through the birthright that the promises are in effect in our life. So there was Joseph. It went from bad to worst. He was a slave. And then they threw him into prison because he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of trying to molest her. And he was an innocent man because he refused to defile himself. Joseph, what's that blessing worth to you now? You're in the prison. You're chained to this rock. What's that blessing worth to you? Why are you still praying to that God? Why are you still living right? You're broke, man. You got 27 cents in your pocket. Got more than that, mine. There's 51. You're broke, man. My father found himself in El Paso, Texas, with 27 cents in his pocket and a patch on the seat of his britches. This is Father's Day, so please allow me the opportunity to tell you about God's awesome mercy to my father. My father was born and raised in Stone County, Missouri, over in the Ozark Mountains. Came through the Depression years. The family finally lost the farm. Had a beautiful 160-acre farm with a log cabin on it. We're talking 1920s here. Had a beautiful cave spring about 400 or 500 feet from the house. My dad said we always had running water in the winter. Because when we got that bucket of water and it was 20 to blow, we run up the hill with it to the house. It was running water. Found himself in the Navy in World War II. All around the world, all the horrors of war and all the ungodliness of his environment. Became an alcoholic. He got out of the Navy and went back to Stone County, Missouri, and opened up a nightclub there. Started into illegal activity, bribed the sheriff of Stone County, Sheriff Walker. Sold liquor on Sunday, had illegal gambling in the joint. To hear Dad tell it, he sold everything from wine to women. Drunk a fifth of whiskey for breakfast. Slept with his 45. And thought that he had the world by the tail. One day, Sheriff Walker came to my dad. And he told him, he said, the feds have got a warrant for your arrest. I can't protect you from this. Nothing I can do. You've got to run. Go to Mexico. So my dad got up and he flew. Got out of there, found himself in Juarez, Mexico, El Paso, Texas, across the border. Laid low for a while, the heat was down, and slipped back into El Paso, Texas, and got a job there on the railroad as a brakeman. He was working on the train, and he'd been drunk for 21 days. He looked over at his buddy, and he told him, he said, why don't you stop the train. I need to go over to the joint and get me a drink here. And as if God spoke through a donkey to Balaam, this man that didn't have the relationship with God himself, but he had a wife at home that was praying and seeking God, looked at him and said, Akers, you don't need another drink. What you need is God. Won't you come home with me tonight and we'll go to church with my wife? That's where my dad found himself at an altar. 27 cents in his pocket and a patch on the seat of his britches. And the realization that he needed God and his promises. Prayed through, God filled him with the Holy Ghost. Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Was called to preach. Went back to Stone County, Missouri, and preached the gospel there, and God called him several different places. But one of the things that about that story that shows the divine power of God to weave lives and circumstances, that we're not here by chance, and that God has a plan. God does have a plan for our lives. He has a plan for your future. You're not just taking chances here, stumbling there. God's got a plan for your life. It's a great plan. It's a lot better than anything you could dream up yourself. It's a lot better than anything that you could produce if you will allow Him to begin to roll His plan out in your life by submitting to Him and accepting His promises. You'll find what the kingdom of God truly is: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, but Dad, all the days of my life, I know what he got was real. Never saw my dad drink a Budweiser. Never saw him drink a fifth of whiskey. He lived for God, was an awesome example of the gospel. He prayed, he preached. God changed him, made him a new creature in Christ Jesus. But before my dad went on to his reward, he had retired from the ministry, and me and my brothers were in ministry, and we looked up and a family come in, and they sat down near the back of the pew, a man and a wife, and had three sons. God moved in their life, and they were in transition, and they come, and they had received the Holy Ghost, been baptized in Jesus' name, and they needed a place to grow, and it's where God directed them, and they began to work, and God began to work in their lives. And one day we were talking, and his name was David Walker, and I found out that his grandpa had been Sheriff Walker in Stone County, Missouri, where that at one time, outside of God's plan, my dad and his grandpa had worked together to further evil and perversion and heartache and pain. That wasn't God's plan. God's plan was for them to work together and do that which was good. But it didn't happen in them. But a generation's removed, I've preached revivals. I've been in services. I've been at the altar with David Walker praying people through to the Holy Ghost. I've been with him when we've taught Bible studies, brought people to church. And today, David Walker is an evangelist of the gospel, going forth across this country preaching this one God message to the world, because God's plan finally got to be carried out, because someone found out about the promise that comes with the birthright. I want to tell you about that promise tonight. You see, Jesus Christ knew that there was the declaration that was made that the wages of sin is death. When we disobey God, when we do that which is evil, we are sinning. When we're disobedient to the Ten Commandments, when we lie, we steal, we cheat, immorality in our life, we are committing sins. It doesn't matter how great or how small those sins may be. The promise, the law was made all the way back to the beginning of time with Adam and Eve. The wages of sin is death. So in order for my sins to be paid for, a perfect sacrifice must die. And God doesn't want us to die for our sins. God doesn't want us to have to give our life for naught. We have a birthright, and He wants to give us opportunity to receive eternal life, not eternal death. So, Jesus said, I will come, and I will die on the cross. Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh, the creator of the universe, robed himself in human flesh, walked among men, taught us, told us that I have a promise that I am going to promise you.
Nicodemus came to him in St. John chapter 3, not understanding that the Messiah had a plan to redeem mankind that did not include the sacrifice of animals anymore. That all of that was going to be shut down and completed and concluded with the complete and ultimate sacrifice come. And that all mankind, if they had the birthright, could say, I plead the blood of Calvary for my sins. I take the only exception for death, and that is the blood of Calvary. So tonight you can have that birthright. Tonight you can have that power with God to be a child of His, so that the sentence of sin and death will eternally be removed from your life. And you can enter into the place of promises and blessings, a life that is lived now in God's plan, so that He can begin to unfold His wonderful blessings in your life. Nicodemus didn't understand this, but Jesus looked at him in St. John chapter 3 and said, verily, verily, old English words here, but I'm glad they're there because it gives us the chance to tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ was very emphatic in telling him, this is a powerful truth. This is something that there's no doubt about it. There's no wiggle room about it. There's nobody that can change it. There's nobody that can spin it. There is no exceptions. This is the truth. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I told you we were talking about birthright. You see, to have the birthright, you got to be born in the family. And God is wanting us to be born into the kingdom of God. Verse number 4, Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he is old? He was thinking carnal about a lot of us are thinking right now. We're smelling barbecue and say, how in the world can I worry about eternity when there's barbecue to eat right now? He said, can I enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Marvel not, or verse 6 rather, that which is born to the flesh is flesh. I'm not talking about your fleshly birth. But that which is born to the spirit is spirit. I'm talking about a spiritual birth. All of us have a longing for that which is spiritual within us. All of us have a longing to be reunited with our Creator and to be able to have a spiritual emotional connection that will give us that assurance in the times of need, in the times of triumph, that we are connected with God. He said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He said, here's a little secret. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. He says, you can't tell where it cometh, and you can't tell where it goeth. So is everyone that is born to the Spirit. You may say, hey, preacher, how do I know that God is real tonight? How do I know that I can be born again of the water and the Spirit? I want to ask you something. Can you see the wind? I can feel the wind. I can go out there and it's will blow against my cheek. I can see the effects of the wind. I can look out there and that little tree covering up the stop sign is just blowing so beautiful. Maybe it'll blow enough that somebody will realize it's there and then stop. The wind is out there and it's real. I want to tell you something. What you feel here tonight is God. He is real. This promise that He was telling Nicodemus about, to be born of the water and be born of the Spirit, He explained it so beautiful through Peter on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse number 38, if you would turn with me tonight. You see, the very first message that was preached to the church is preached right here in Acts chapter 2. Jesus Christ had died on the cross. He'd been resurrected. He told them to go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father, Acts 1 and 8. The promise was poured out. The new church was born. All of the Jews had gathered there for the feast of Pentecost, and they were asking what was going on. Verse 37, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They wanted to know, how can we get this birthright? How can we have these promises and blessings of God in our life? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent. It's a simple term. Our world doesn't talk much about it. We're not really familiar with it unless we have experience with God. But it is very simple, coming to God and admitting our wrongdoings, asking God to change us and to help us, and that with His help, we will never transgress and rebel against Him again. And then here comes the water. And be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. We're fixing to have a wedding in this church assembly next Saturday. And we could have a real big problem in this wedding. Because when I asked Trish, do you take Marshall to be your husband? She looked at me and said, I don't want nothing to do with that Strickland name. I'm going to be called Jones. We could have a problem in the wedding. Because Strickland is his name by birthright. He's kind of proud of that name. He's got a dad that's a great man that has wore the name Strickland and made it a name of honor. He's carried the name of Strickland, and he's respected in his church, respected in his community, respected on his job. And for someone to look at him and tell him his name wasn't no good and they didn't want any part of it, you see, that name is a name of birthright to hand down to my children. And when we're born into the name, into the kingdom of God, we take on the name of Jesus. We are now the sons of God. We have the name of Jesus applied on us as we're born of the water. And he says, here's the promise. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Christ in you, the hope of glory, the earnest of your inheritance. Those are all scriptures. You see, when you put earnest money down on a home, you're putting down good faith money. You're putting down payment money. Because you've seen that home and you look at it and you say, that's going to be mine. Oh, baby. That's our dream home. Oh, baby, that's our castle. Oh, baby, that's our love nest. Yeah, that's ours. I've got the earnest money down on it. It's ours. Nobody else can have it. You see, Jesus Christ wants to fill you with His Spirit tonight. Because that's His down payment on heaven. He says, that's my child. That's my son. That's my daughter. They're going to have a birthright. They're going to have a mansion on the other side. They've got it. It's theirs. I have put the down payment on them. And they're going to be with me eternally. I want to tell our fathers tonight, if for no other reason, I live for God, so my children can be saved. No, I can't make my children live for God.
But I want to tell you something tonight. And if you don't hear nothing else this old preacher has to say, if you don't live for God, your children's chances of being saved are not very good. I've seen it. Oh, yeah. There's some miracles out there. There's some exceptions to the rule. Thank God for it. But I've seen so many that they followed in the steps of their dad. He didn't go to church. He didn't live for God. He didn't do what was right. I'll be all right. I don't need a birthright. He got by. I'll get by. Daddies, got little eyes and little ears that are watching you. Would you value your birthright tonight? Can you stand with me all over this house? Tonight, we've heard the Word of God, and each and every one of us have a decision to make. It's up to us to decide how valuable is our relationship with God. How much do you value tonight being able to have a godly heritage to pass on to the next generation? How much do you value tonight to be able to say, I want my children to have a birthright. I want my children to be able to look back and say, Dad showed me how to pray. Dad showed me how to go to church. Dad showed me how to live for God. And I will pass it on to my children. Could you bow your heads and close your eyes with me tonight? And look into your heart. Look into the place where that you are the one that knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. You're the one that knows tonight what you plan on doing and what you have within you. Amen. Can you begin?